Hello, this is Vacant Expressions, 1 hour of your life you will not get back. We are your hosts, John and Wesley Fox, and today we're going to, as we promised in the last episode, we're going to talk about how much we're fucking pissed off about at the X-Men movies, and the people that are behind these fucking things that should be so much better. So that is, and as also as promised, it will be a whiskey-fueled rage rant. Raging rant. So we are both drinking whiskeys. So John, how are you doing? And what was your choice of whiskey for this rant?
I'm doing pretty good today. I have mixed feelings about this rant. It makes me upset to be on this topic, but at the same time, there's an odd ease that's coming over me to be able to get this off my chest and put it out there. And hopefully somebody agrees. I don't really care. Maybe they'll start an argument and then that'll help too. I don't know. But for the occasion, I'm drinking Jameson. It's a good Irish morning whiskey.
This is
to mourn a loved one or to celebrate or just anything. It's a good all-around middle-of-the-road whiskey. Can't say anything bad about Jameson.
It's how I like to start my Sundays. Well, awesome. I went with something new. I was looking for either Jameson Caskmate or Tyrconnell, which is a really, really good Irish whiskey. But the Total Wine store I was at, like, their Irish whiskey selection was kind of weak. But I did come across this new one, and it's called Writer's Tears Irish Whiskey, which, you know, is kind of on point because I want to be a writer. So I felt like, you know, just totally perfect cliche for me to drink this stuff and actually like it. And as it turns out, it's actually really, really good.
I mean, that's fantastic.
I know,
just
right?
Buying the bottle for the novelty alone and just filling it with like iced tea or something and having it on the shelf would just be perfect, you know, after you drink it. But the fact that it's good and you might get another bottle, like, at some point or have it in your collection generally, like, that's fantastic. That didn't need to happen. Yeah, so I'm going to see if I can find it at my local store.
Yeah, it's a little bit on the price. The price point is higher, so it's, you know, probably not double of Jameson, but it's up there in price. But it's really smooth. It's got a lot of flavor. It's almost, I mean, it's not a bourbon, but it's kind of like one or two steps away from a bourbon. And it's just like really just relaxing. Like, it's great. I mean, I'm just really surprised. I really just thought, you know, with a name so on point, there's no way I'm going to like it. But, and there's a lot of Irish whiskeys that are not, that are just brutal. I mean, they're just there to get you drunk. And
yeah,
you know, they are. They're Irish whiskey. There's some that are really good, and then there's some that are just crap. Like, there's one called, I don't know if you've ever had Dubliner's whiskey.
Mm-mm.
Great, you know, the name is right on point. But I've had it, and it's just really rough, and not flavor wise, just not a whole lot to it. I mean, it's basically gasoline. And I
don't know what it is, but now I kind of want it.
Dude, if you, yeah.
Like if I just wanted to get, you know, that certain type of rampage drunk, you know, I think I know what I'd pick up.
Oh, yeah, dude, if you're punishing yourself. Or
you know, like one of those or something. Or a vengeance one, you know, and you want to get reckless.
Exactly, yeah. Vengeance and self-destruction is what that whiskey is for.
Yeah. Like the type of vengeance where you have nothing else to lose and it's not pretty.
No. No, it's not like
a carefully calculated like revenge plot and like a great scheme coming in a plan or something. No. No, this is like scorched earth.
Yeah, this is not like those action movies where the hero is like bent on revenge and like there's going to be a happy ending or at least a satisfying ending. Like, no, this kind of vengeance, no one's going to be happy at the end of this. There's no positive like ending to it.
No lessons were learned.
No lesson is going to be learned. It's not even going to be just, you know.
Yeah, you're going to feel weird about it.
Yeah, you're not going to feel righteous at all.
You're like, really, all of this for that?
like at the end of it, you might like at the end of it when you finally like savagely punish those like who you wanted revenge at, you might just start crying. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we've described it. Now you know exactly what it tastes like.
So, right. Yeah, back to the topic, though. Now, the reason that we're upset about this, and we haven't really mentioned it on too many other things before, but we love X-Men. We think X-Men is the coolest. A lot of people out there are really big X-Men fans as well. We had the lifelong childhood game of picking your favorite one and who would win in a battle, and whether you were right or not. Like, that was just always a really big deal. Obviously, other comic books were kind of important, but there was something about X-Men, I think, for our generation and the cartoon that used to run and the quality of it that, like, there was just a different obsession. And so, and then, you know, when the first movie came out, you know, special effects were kind of there. It's you think about it, it might be one of the first really good high special effects superhero movies. I mean, unless you count like a Superman or a Batman that might have happened around that time. But yeah, so X-Men has always, been something where they almost did a really good job, and then they always end up disappointing us each time. And we kind of want to talk about the different ways that it has and why it upsets us so much. Do you got anything to add?
That encapsulates it, like, perfectly. Like, we're not comic book fans, but if there was, I mean, of the comic books I did own, almost all of them were X-Men, and it's... And I don't remember what got us into it was the Saturday morning cartoon, which was freaking awesome.
It was our favorite one. That's the only one that mattered. It didn't matter if we watched anything else, like, as long as we got to see X-Men. And one of the most horrible Saturdays of my life to this day is when some, like, weird special news bulletin interrupted our episode of X-Men, and they never brought it back on the air. And I don't know. I don't know if they reran it or whatever. Like, you just had no choice back then. You know, you just had to deal with it. We just got screwed at a half an episode of X-Men that we waited all week for.
Yeah. We don't know how it ended.
To this day. But there was no recourse.
No.
There was no YouTube. There was no chat rooms. No on demand.
it was definitely like, and then when I think the first like real like the superhero movies of the CGI era, I think the top two big ones was the first X-Men movie and then Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I think we were still probably a good 8-9 years away from Batman. We were still the Superman with Brandon Routh, that one off, I think might have been around a little bit later. X-Men was the first real legit attempt at making a superhero or comic book movie with the technology and the budget to really deliver. And that's how the superhero kind of genre in movies really took off, is because X-Men did pretty well. Spider-Man did really well. So that was when, you know, it all started. We didn't get Iron Man until, you know, 2007 or 8. X-Men, I think the first X-Men movie was like 96 or 97 or 98. So it took a while. But I think the first X-Men movie really laid down some of the things that, you know, Avengers and another great movies did later on. So like they get credit for being kind of the first, like among the first to really test out the idea, but then they just fucked it up from that point forward.
I got a slight theory here. I completely pulled out of my ass based off what you just said. I mean, since it was kind of some of the first superhero movies, I think for Hollywood when they were making them for a long time, and especially in the 80s and 90s, any of the bad superhero movies that were coming out with no good special effects, they always Hollywood the fucked out of it. You know, like they messed with the script, they could change stuff around or whatever. And being true to the comic books wasn't the most important thing ever for this stuff. And I feel like when X-Men started, they were still kind of in that type of mode. Like, the scripts would get changed, and they probably thought they did a good job staying true to it and everything, but it wasn't really that important to them because they were trying to bring X-Men to a wider audience, not just appease the hardcore comic book fans. And so Hollywood, like, has been messing with it more back in the day than they do now. They've learned some lessons, and they try to stay true, even though they have to change plot lines and storylines. There's some things that they try to, like, stay more true to, like, you know, not have all the fans completely hate him. There's always going to be a demographic that's going to complain, of hardcore fandom and purists and stuff. But you could get most of the community on your side. And I don't think they really had to do that for X-Men. It's just frustrating because it does show they did put a lot of thought and care into it, but there's some point there were just bad decisions that were made, whether they were compromises or they were bad decisions from the get-go. You know? And what are some of the big ones for you?
The... the biggest fail, I don't know if I want to start with the thing that pisses me off the most about X-Men, because it kind of, because then after that, everything I say after that is kind of secondary, but maybe,
okay. Maybe
I should, because I feel like this is the reason that I personally just am just always been bothered by X-Men movies and what they did with it, is that there's something, the X-Men story, the concept, has such powerful themes of persecution, of social isolation, alienation, the feeling of, that you're being treated like a freak, even though, you don't feel like you're defective or whatever, especially for smart kids that are, doing well in school or whatever, back in the day when that was still, probably still is, but, they were, no one cared. If anything, they were, made fun of for it. They were treated like they were they weren't part of the rest of it because they were really, really good at these things, or they had unique hobbies, whatever, like Star Trek and shit like that, or science, science, or stuff that boys and girls of that age are not supposed to be into, and especially when you reach puberty, you're supposed to be only interested in one thing. And I feel like X-Men really, because they are not heroes, they're not seen as heroes by the rest of the humanity, the rest of the world, even though they are doing heroic things. They're still treated basically with suspicion, with kind of fear. And I really think that resonates really, really well with people going through adolescence and that awkward stage. And also, you factor in, the Nazism, the persecution of Jews, the alienation of the other. All this stuff is wrapped into X-Men, and it's been done in the comic books and in the cartoon even. And I feel like these movies touch on it, but then they're like, all right, but let's get back to the action. So mm-hmm. There's so many powerful potential. I mean, X-Men could be every bit more profound. It can be more profound than the Avengers, because mm-hmm. it's not just a hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying X-Men would make more, if it was done right, it would make more money than Avengers, would be more entertaining. It probably wouldn't be. But, it has the potential to hit you, and be more kind of profound in what it could deliver. And the movies never, they gave it a glancing blow every once in a while. But for the most part, they ignored that in favor of action. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's just never been given justice, and why they make one movie after another and how they choose to intersect them or how they choose to build on them, it just really looks like there was no thought in the third or the one that would come after it or the one that would come after that. They were all almost thoughts about feel like they're these little islands, and then the next one is just loosely tied together. And I mean, maybe a couple of them did a decent job tying one right into the other and stuff, but it definitely didn't do it like a comic book did, like the TV show used to, or like how the Avengers was able to kind of pull it off. X-Men has never been that cohesive with their releases and with the storyline, and they definitely have that content to deliver. They have so much of it. And then they have their own time travel that is just eerie and just fucked up. everything that happens in X-Men is just it's really relevant to society today and just always in general, because we just keep on having these problems and these reasons to separate people into us and them, and what we should how as a society we should handle it, because there is going to be a time where we're going to be able to create superhumans. It just is, and X-Men is a more honest conversation about how we'd handle that. All the other superhero movies are just idealized, and it's they kind of touch on that stuff and everything, but they're not really about that. It's just in the Marvel universe there are superheroes and everyone has come to terms with it. and it's there's regular people too and everyone's just okay with it. And X-Men is tackling a way different social issue when it comes to it. It's we get superheroes in the forms of mutants and they popping up everywhere and they have different powers, and how does society handle that? Because it's not going to be the way that it is. And I feel some superhero movies, they always have a conversation about how part of society kind of fears them, and so part of what they do is not necessarily sanctioned by law and stuff, so it's common for most superheroes to kind of go through that. But X-Men does tackle it in a way different, more profound way.
Yeah, I love the fact that they do a lot of the time, in the cartoon and even in some of the better movies, is it's a lot more about, like, you know, what you would do with that power, and also kind of the temptation of it, which Avengers Avengers hardly touches, and most other comic book movies usually don't. They usually just assume that you're either going to be a supervillain or you're going to be a superhero, and there's really nothing in between.
And then it becomes complicated. The bad people in X-Men or whatever, like, yeah, they're bad people and they do bad things, but they have, like, a point of view that can almost be, you could see where it could come from. Like, where do you think you would really fall? Would you be benevolent to let the people that are, like, chosen to outcast you and would kill you? Would you protect them?
Yeah.
You know, like, so they're not, like, super villains per se. They're just survivalists.
Yeah. And there's a little bit more of a, you know, even the heroes they're more flawed than most superhero movies. Like, usually they have one or two, they make mistakes or whatever, but they're largely morally upright. They're compassionate. They are talented. You know, most of them are attractive, but in X-Men, like, some of them are disfigured or monstrous. Some of them have serious emotional and moral issues. They don't have to be villains, but, like, sometimes they're kind of, all of them are supposed to be more into the gray area. But that's not really, the movies, like, well, oftentimes just, you know, yes, they do more of that, showing a little bit more of the villain, but they do end up doing good versus evil in most of the movies, which is a disappointment as well. Like Magneto basically being, somebody who wants to embark on a new Holocaust. I know Magneto's drive is obviously pro-mutant and anti-human because of his background, but they make him in some of the movies just downright genocidal. And I don't really think that was really necessarily part of his character or his motivation. But, you know, that's what they like to do with him. They make the villain super villainy. Then it's not necessary. It's not. I don't think it's true to X-Men, and at least not the X-Men that I was exposed to as a kid. And that's, I mean, it just... But anyway, that's so that thematically.
How long was it before we got to see some Sentinels?
Yeah, that too.
You know, that took way too long, way too long. It's like it was never going to come. And then when they did come, it's like, you know what? It's just too little, too late. I'm sorry, guys. You know, it's hard to be excited at this point.
Yeah, and what was there with all the material, source material they have, and everything they could work with? They were so hopelessly dependent on Hugh Jackman's Wolverine for the story, to drive the story, to drive the interest. He's on screen more than any other mutant by far. Yeah. He's got three of his own movies. You know, the third of which nobody asked for. And then Logan, the fourth, I would say, is nothing like the first three. So there's four, actually. But it's just wait, do I got that right?
I think so. Logan, by the way, though, is the only great X-Men movie. None of them are great except for Logan. And Logan is, like, great for all these other different reasons that I have really mixed feelings about that we'll get to.
Yeah. But, like, I guess that's another point. Like, they have all this star power, that in both generations they made, you know, Halle Berry, Patrick Stewart, and then there's the McAvoy and Jennifer Lawrence and Fassbender. So they have plenty of talent, just like the Avenger movies do. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of, like, celebrity, like, high end TV celebrity star or movie stars. They had it, but then they decide to spend 90% of their time with Wolverine. It's just, you know, there's other characters that people like. Like, Avengers gives a lot of characters their own movie. Wolverine is the only one that got his own movie, as far as I can tell.
They could have all totally had their own movies. Like, I freaking love all those characters. Like, seriously, any origin, they all have their own origin stories, and when they intersected with the X-Men, they all, like, have been casted by great actors and stuff. Like, they could make a whole X-Men universe, like, that would just be nuts. And then, I mean, don't even get me started on when they bring Bishop in, and they start doing time travel and stuff, like... X-Men needs to get the attention that freaking, like, the Avengers did. It really does. Yeah. Like, the writing style and everything, because just that's just never been there. They've had the star power, they've even had the special effects, and they've had everything else, and then the writing just doesn't end up being there. But part of it does. That's the thing. You don't get close. Like, you almost, like the movie, and then at the end of it, you're like, but it's not something I can watch and rewatch like some of these other ones, you know, because part of it is just going to be like, why did they go this way? And I mean, you know, trying to one up themselves with the action and with, you know, how they do everything when they have enough like psychological storylines that you could keep everyone on the edge of their seat and, you know, tears in the audience and stuff without having to rely on that. And of course, inevitably their superpowers or their mutant powers, you know, saving the day are going to result in great action sequences. You know, it's just going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie that really like kind of hits on like the I think you hit on like three things there. Like the last X-Men movie, Apocalypse, I think did all three of those things. You have a great cast, and you have what starts off as a great story around this villain, who I've always been a huge fan of the villain in the cartoons, and just loved how he was portrayed.
Yeah, he was epic, man. He was scary. Like he would, like he only had one track mind. Like he was like this weird brainwashed dude.
Dude, he was a lot like, I mean, he was Thanos like in a lot of
ways. Yeah, absolutely. And they did not do a good enough job.
So instead they make him in this movie. First of all, they make him look like Ivan Ooze from Power Rangers. They have Oscar Isaac, who is a really cool young actor. I love him in a lot of movies, and they just cover him in makeup and prosthetics to the point where his face doesn't move. And it's like, why? And then they make him omnipotent. You know, like there's no limits to his power. You have no idea what the limitations are on him. He can do anything. And that's their villain. They centered around this villain. And then the action sequence at the end is a total light show that they're trying to one up like all the previous X-Men and probably Avenger movies. And it's just a light show, and you just get tired of it. You get worn out and, like, sleepy, kind of like how you've said with the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Like, it's a CGI orgy, and it just wears off. You get numb to it to the point where – and also, just it seems like anything is possible in that movie.
Yeah.
Like,
It's hard to get really excited. There has to be, like, some limits to everything and stuff. Like, and it's a weird action trying to one-up themselves. I feel like there's been an awesome lesson learned by some action movies in the past, like, decade to two decades even, you know, in the 2000s that have been able to be great action movies that weren't over the top and one-upping everything. And we learned some, like, awesome lessons from that. And I don't know why some of these movies like that they want to make great. I haven't learned those lessons yet.
Yeah, and the biggest, like, have you seen Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this is a spoiler. But Magneto is back in hiding after the previous, you know, after the events of the previous movie. So he's just trying to live a quiet life. He's already a tragic figure. And then they go ahead and in the middle of this movie kill his new family.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would you do that? Why is that necessary? Why do you feel like you have to like pump in the steroids and go to Top Gear with motivating Magneto by having him watch his new family die, his new daughter? Given he's already a tragic character with how his mother died, why would you have to do that to him again? In the most stupid ass way. It was just so fucking like way over the top, way, way excessive, and just like, and then you throw in all the other extraordinary things that go on in the first half of that movie that don't make sense, and you're like, you know what, why not? Basically anything can happen, nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
It's just, there's no, fuck you, man. It's just,
I think we are delivering on what we said, like, just kind of a pissed off rant. I think we're completely delivering. I know the whiskey's hitting me. I mean, it's just so smooth. I just want to sip on it the whole time.
I mean,
Do you even have ice? I'm having mine completely neat, room temperature.
I have, like, part of my ice tray I fill up to the top, and the other I only fill halfway, so it's like a half ice cube. But honestly, I could do this neat.
And those are your whiskey ice cubes?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yes. So, all right. I wouldn't mind throwing a couple positive things on there. We could talk about some things that they got right. First and foremost, when we were kids, we loved the cartoon. We wanted it to be turned into a movie. And we also loved Star Trek Next Generation. And we all totally made the connection that Patrick Stewart should 100% play Professor Xavier. And then they did that in the first movie. And that's just how it's been from this fourth, you know, moment on. And that's just fantastic. That's one thing that they got right. Something that we wanted as kids that we actually saw. They made the same decision. And when I bring it up to people, they're like, yeah, everybody thought that. Like, you guys didn't call it ever. everybody just felt it. Like, well, it's kind of just an obvious thing.
It's kind of like when they announced their, like, when I heard that there was going to be a Zorro movie. I'm like, oh, so it's going to be Antonio Banderas, right? Sure enough, yes.
like of course the new James Bond is Pierce Brosnan. Didn't he already play James Bond?
I thought James Bond was based on Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, based on his life and exploits.
So, dude, definitely. And also, like, the friendship. Because I think Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart met on the set of X-Men. Is when they first got to know each other. And they just became total buddies from that day forward. And their friendship and, you know, all the stuff they share on Twitter. And, like, them traveling the world together. Like, them and their family. Like, that is just, like, one of the cool, like bromances of our age.
Yes, yeah, it really is. It really is. That, like, if I'm having a bad day, looking at pictures of them going out, like, playing skee-ball, having fun, just reminds
Seriously.
Me.
I want Patrick Stewart's life. Like, that's... So, yeah, definitely an excellent – and then Ian McKellen as Magneto was an excellent choice. Hugh Jackman as well. Yeah, casting-wise, definitely nailed casting. Like,
what are the odds that you could actually pick an actor that won't age to play a character that is eternal? What are the odds?
I know.
There's only a handful of actors that just, like, refuse to age over the course of decades, you know? Like – It happens a little bit more often than it used to. You know, the number's a little bit higher, but there's only a few people that do it to this degree. And I think there's only two examples. It's Paul Rudd and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, they don't. It. Yeah, and then Patrick Stewart doesn't really age.
He got old fast,
and then he
and
stayed
then
there.
Stopped.
And then
and distinguished at like 35.
He prematurely bald, and I remember like him telling like when he was on being interviewed, he just thought like his a big part of his life was over because he was, you know, losing his hair so quickly. But turns out that wasn't true at all. The casting is obviously that's one thing they've always gotten right. Even with the new with McAvoy and Michael Fassbender and Jennifer Lawrence in the newer movies, like those are great picks as well.
Yeah, and Rebecca Romijn. I mean, just everything that they just like picked for all those characters has just been really legit. I feel like maybe there was one or two awkward ones, but like you can't get them all right. Like, so I'm not even gonna like, you know, nitpick at like some like awkward casting decisions they made. I was a little annoyed that like Rogue was so young. I felt like she was an adult character and stuff. Like, I mean, they just kind of changed what her character was a little bit. I feel like to make her more Hollywood and interesting or something. So I guess they did it for their own reasons. That was a little bit annoying. And Gambit was always my favorite character, and I never felt that he's ever been represented. And they talk about there being a Gambit movie and Channing Tatum playing him or something. Or like, I have low expectations because I've been disappointed so much. So I'm gonna come in with really low expectations. But like that was always something that's kind of bugged me too, and that's a personal thing. I mean, I don't know if everybody has to feel that way.
Gambit,
like, I thought Gambit was the coolest man. He was a bad boy, and him and fucking everyone loves Wolverine, and I love Wolverine too. Wolverine's cool, but Gambit and Wolverine like didn't get along, and it was awesome. Not like Cyclops and him didn't get along. Like they had their own weird thing too.
Gambit, just everything about his backstory and what you could do with a guy with a Cajun accent. Creole accent is it's just fantastic. He's not a team player. He's not a soldier. He's a gambler. I mean, there's just so much to work with there.
And he touches stuff and it blows the fuck up.
I know. He's a card player. He touches cards and they fucking blow up. It's just, oh like, my just God, you can't make a movie out of that.
Yeah.
You couldn't make a movie out of that?
Yeah, you cannot make a movie out of that guy. Some slick-talking guy that plays by his own rules as a chronic gambler and, like, touches stuff and it blows up? Come on.
Seriously, you can't get a – there's got to be somewhere in Hollywood, like, a depository of Gambit scripts.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Yeah, they're just going to the shredder every time. Someone's just got something against them. And this is what it was. There was a kid that I was growing up to. We'd always argue about X-Men. He always said Wolverine was the best. I'd say Gambit was the best. And that's the type of person. It's like that kid that I was in second grade with or whatever that was a dick about it. He's the one that fucking is in charge of this shit.
And there's dude, wherever he is, he needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
Like, So, and then they, for a long time, they've been talking about a Gambit movie forever, and it sounds like it's now on hold, and it was going to be Channing Tatum, which, dude, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum is a national treasure.
Yeah, so seriously. Like,
I'm totally, and I think he could totally pull that off. He's hilarious. Channing Tatum has already shown he can be fucking hilarious.
So, yeah, he could be serious, he could be hilarious, he could dance. You know?
He can dance. Yeah, make Gambit, dude, make Gambit a smooth dancer type too, to kind of throw some of that Magic Mike in there.
Yeah, come on.
How is that project not off the ground? Like, yep. I would go see that in a second. I think a lot of people would too. So no Gambit movie. We get three Wolverine movies, but no Gambit movie. We never got to see Rogue become Rogue. We only saw the young Rogue version. I really would have liked to have seen whether they wanted to keep using that actress, Anna Paquin, or get a new one and have a whole, because Rogue is a fascinating character with, you know, all the things that have happened in her life with all the things she's absorbed. Storm is, was it claustrophobic?
Yeah, she's always hella one-dimensional.
Yeah, I mean, and even in the cartoon, that's usually what they played on, like her experiences in Africa and being claustrophobic. They never, for whatever reason, decided to never use that, or never use her African origins. They casted Halle Berry, and then she's basically full on just African American instead of Nigerian born or wherever Storm I think originally is from. And then in the later movie, she's she's living in Egypt. So it's, who the hell knows? Like, why? I don't know why you made those creative decisions. You didn't need to. I think the character was totally cool backstory as it was. You did not need to totally fucking throw it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets really weird. It's like they had to have everybody in at the same time. Like, there's this one, like, screenplay that they had, and then they're like, yeah, but that doesn't fit with the character's backstory. We're like, yeah, well, I'm not rewriting this. So you got to make it fucking work. Like, you see this is done. This is like 200 pages, dude. You want to rewrite that? We have endless comics to go off of. It's already been written, you dickbag.
I know, it's already there. It's like, you should be able to kick out a script in a few weeks because you already, a lot of the shit's just already written in comic book form. You just have to put it on a script format. That's all you have to do. How much, whatever. Fucking bastards. So I was just thinking off the top of my head, another cool movie that we did get a glimpse of in First Class is Magneto's origin story.
Yeah.
That is fascinating, and they definitely incorporated a lot of that in First Class, and it worked really well. Actually, First Class.
I think the First Class thing did give it another opportunity, and I'm trying to, be positive about it. So, those have done, a decent job. I mean, I don't know if I have all the same complaints. I feel like I need to rewatch them after bitching so much and see if I really, I didn't end up being crazy about the movies. There are definitely, some misses, but I feel like it was a decent attempt to try and fix what was done.
And the casting, I think McAvoy was kind of a really, a cool take on a young Xavier. I think Fassbender was a cool take on a young Magneto.
Yeah.
They changed Mystique's character to be more of a neutral or more of a gray area character, whereas typically I've only really before that seen her portrayed as a full-on psychopath.
Yeah.
So it's whatever. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is deeply talented, and they decided to, take advantage of the talent they had in place and the character, and to use the character differently. I was fine with that choice. That was actually a pretty good move.
Well, I mean, because I definitely humanizing both sides of the mutants and everything, and especially with First Class, it is going back to a long time ago, when maybe they started to see more eye to eye, and then they've slowly gone farther and farther apart. So I think it's all necessary, And there's a certain part where you guys have just fought too many times that you're never gonna like each other again. It's nah, dude, you screwed me too many times. I will never forgive you. But we get to see a time where it's not quite. It hasn't gotten that far yet, And that's pretty cool. That's interesting that they've done that. And then I want to go to the crown jewel of all of this, borderline shit. And that is, that's Logan. For me, Logan was amazing. I actually watched it on a fucking flight to Iceland and stuff. So it's by myself on this tiny screen. And that was the first time I watched it. So I still need to rewatch it, a few more times. But that movie was just so well done and so hits you in the feels. And I don't know if that's how they really in the comic books ever ended those characters. Spoilers, by the way, it's pretty much like the ending of that whole, like, you know, X-Men like character thing. I think what Patrick Stewart and like, what's his name? Don't want to play those characters anymore.
Yeah, they were
so
done. They
chose to like kind of kill him off and stuff. And so that's interesting. I don't know if they're going to make movies with the new characters they built off of that and Wolverine's like daughter and stuff. I don't know what kind of decisions they're going to make while they're running new class. Like, why would they have the new class and then also like this other weird new stuff? But Hollywood makes really weird decisions for us.
Logan is a fantastic movie. It redeems. And I think really there's three things. I mean, there's a lot of things in that movie that the other movies don't do, and it worked. And it's kind of like a lot of us on the, you know, I think a lot of fans were like, dude, we've been telling you to do something like this instead forever. You finally do it. And you put together an awesome movie that, you know, was successful in the box office and highly touted.
But at the same time when you're killing my characters.
Like,
why did you finally do a good one now? It's like this weird bittersweet thing. Like, I love it and I'm pissed off all at the same time. And
exactly.
It's almost equal amounts. I love it a little bit more than I'm pissed off, but it's only by a little bit.
It's just a fantastic, like, kind of look into the of where Xavier and where Logan end up, and Logan himself, who has just fought countless wars, countless battles, he's been through like so much pain. That's another thing that they could have dialed back a lot in general is Hugh Jackman screaming in pain and being subjected to all sorts of like grotesque injuries throughout all the movies.
He's so good at it, though.
He is.
When you see Hugh Jackman feel something, you're like, ah, that looks like it hurts.
Yeah. It's like, all right, in this scene, we're going to have this slashed down your side right here, and it's going to tear your ulnar open. And Hugh Jackman's like, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
We know you can, Hugh. We know you can.
Yeah. We don't know what place you go to or where it comes from. We're all afraid to ask.
I've never been to Australia, and I kind of don't want to go now because I don't know where this – something down there is doing this. But, like, it was a great movie. It was character driven by multiple characters. It was kind of a tragic in some ways, but also redeeming in others. Logan finally, you know, spoiler. I mean, we're going to put a spoiler warning at the front anyway. But you see the end of Logan's a character you thought could not die, and he dies saving his surrogate daughter, and actually a bunch of kids. I mean, that's his final battle. It's just saving a bunch of kids instead of saving the world. Saving this, fighting monsters, you know, and doing all these huge, extravagant battles with the military-industrial complex. Like, in this final scene, it's like, oh, so in this he's going to fight the Yakuza clans? Like, no. He's going to save some kids.
Yeah. But it's the last of the mutants, though.
Yeah.
Like, Wolverine is the savior of, like, the last, like, free mutant kind. So it's still huge. He still saved the world in a way. You know, the world of his people. So I disagree. You know, like Wolverine will go down to the great, like a god, endless savior of all mutant kind. Like, well, think about that legend of what happened there, and that, like, that's how I looked at that movie. Like, because those were the mutants that were left, and they'll tell the story of that. And think about, like, you know, mutants thousands of years from now, at least in this timeline and stuff. Like Wolverine's almost like their god, going into their Genesis story.
Like the. No, I love, like, the meaning of what he did was totally grand, but I think, like, from, like, the Hollywood Michael Bay kind of attitude towards movies, like, all right, so in this movie he saves the world from a supervillain, right? No, he just
saves a group of kids.
He gets a bunch of kids over the Canadian border.
Yep. That's the type of well written, though. That's what it does. You're right. When they do it thoughtfully, it fucking works. Yeah, because it mattered. So it was freaking well done, and like it sunk with you.
And it's so Logan, I guess, and also just this. There's no CGI orgy in Logan. It's the budget is obviously, they did not go out and on a spending spree for these massive super battles and special effects. There's definitely,
but it was still a beautiful movie though. I mean, like,
oh yeah,
it was still, everything was really well done. And like the little bit, and that just goes to show, like, if you just use it a little bit and it's a good cinematography and it's well acted and shot and edited, like when you do use it, it's still like powerful and impactful. You know, you don't have to like desensitize us for us to be entertained.
Exactly. And it does.
It's all about contrast.
And they don't need to be saving the world every fucking time. Mm-hmm. That is something that, because you're, like you were saying, like they feel like they need to keep one-upping themselves from the previous movie. Well, I mean, at a certain point, you just have a 2-hour long movie that's the equivalent of like just explosions and people screaming for 2 hours. Like you, there's nowhere else to, like, where else are you going to go? They've already saved the world. Against a huge baddie. They've already, like, blown shit up here and there. They've already fought Apocalypse. Like, what? And then, and I'll go back, and one more thing I want to hit Apocalypse for is they defeat Apocalypse, who's, like, omnipotent, with just a totally out-of-the-blue Jean Grey turns into the Dark Phoenix and kills him. Just out of nowhere. Like, if you don't know the comic books, like, if you don't really know the story of the Phoenix, that ending was probably like, what the fuck?
Like, that's not how the Phoenix works.
No, that's not how that's really supposed to work. That's not how she, I mean, it's just like out of nowhere. It's like, it's called like Deus Ex Machina. Like basically God, basically when you don't have, you write yourself into a corner, you throw in some sort of magic something to get you out. And for this movie, they decided to use Dark Phoenix or Phoenix. And it's just like,
like, yeah, that would work. But
it
what?
Would, but
like that's
it's a total
it. That's
cop out.
Yeah, exactly. It was a total cop out. Like, because I mean, in other times, like they just get rid of Apocalypse. They don't kill him. They just find a way to get rid of him and have him not be a problem before. But he keeps coming back, and I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, and he's not. And as I recall from the cartoons, like he's not all powerful. He is powerful. I mean, he's strong and he's impossible to kill.
He thinks he's omnipotent, or he has like that attitude about stuff, but they know his actual weaknesses or his limits, you know?
Yeah, he has limits. I mean, he's not. So it's just to make him like the things he does in that movie, which are, you know, CGI magic, I guess, and making him like the scariest villain they can come up with. I mean, basically Thanos is how you do it right. Apocalypse is how you do it wrong.
absolutely it was just rushed. A lot of them just feel rushed, you know, like everything was rushed, and it's like they have the budget for it and they have the choreographers for the action sequences, so that's, you know, the script is just like, you know, some nerds in a writing room. But yeah, like freaking, but going back to like Logan, if they make all the movies kind of like that, like, I mean, come on, dude, killing him off, like, and like seeing Professor Xavier like that was just so, so freaking intense for me. And then like, I'm sitting next to Jesse on this flight and I'm like, I cannot start crying during a superhero movie and be really upset. I need to get through this. I need to be a man like at this moment. Like if we were in a movie together or something and it happened and we were watching it together and she'd be like, oh wow, I can see why maybe that was big for you. But like, she's not even watching the movie with me. She just thinks I'm watching a Wolverine movie. That's it.
she just kind of turns. I don't know where she turns and she's like, oh come on, the turbulence isn't that bad, John.
Like, no, nope. don't cry. But I really wanted to. It was a big deal for me because even though I, like, as a kid picked Gambit over Wolverine, as an adult, like, I mean, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine and the saga and really just taking in what his characters mean and what it's gone through is pretty epic. And there's a reason why they spent so much attention on him. I feel like it's been disproportionate because there are other characters that could use some attention. But I get at least why they started.
I think I would get upset at watching Patrick Stewart die no matter who he's playing.
Like, avenge him!
I don't, yeah. Like, you see Captain Picard die, you're just like, oh, hell no.
Oh, no.
Fuck shit up, Logan. No. Fuck shit up.
Yeah. Seriously.
Fuck Seriously. All of them. No, forget about this whole peace between mutants and humans. No. That's done. No, they killed that opportunity.
That shit's over. You get a pass. Humans are the worst.
All right, so besides Logan, I mean, unless you had something else you want to say, but, like, besides Logan, was there another movie that I think, like, because I know, to me, Logan's the best, but it's not the only one that I think was delivered and actually can be an exception to, like, what we're saying.
You know, I didn't do enough research to really have a good thought of that. This is just coming in with blind rage. And I haven't rewatched the X-Men movies like I have other movies. Because when they don't leave an imprint, it's not like, oh, my God, I'll watch that one over and over again. I feel like a couple of the recent ones I've liked more. I've liked the new class and stuff more, and those are definitely rewatchable. But I think that mentality is just kind of carried over. I just don't end up rewatching them, and I think I'd need to revisit that. And maybe we could have, like, a follow-up podcast or something that's a little bit more – maybe it's more thoughtful and less, like, whiskey rage.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm kind of liking the whiskey approach, but
it could be the exact same thing just with new stuff.
Well, the other movie, I would still say Logan is the best X-Men movie, but one that I actually thought was pretty good and actually made me very hopeful about the future was X-Men First Class, set in 1963 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. I thought that was the first time we saw the new cast, you know, all the new actors and actresses are going to play the roles. We saw Magneto's origin, more of Magneto's origin. I think Fassbender is just a phenomenal actor and did a tremendous job as Magneto in this one movie.
Last name's Fassbender.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
He's a great all-around actor. He's a
you keep on bringing that up and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's the actor's name." Like, man, what a ridiculous name. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his real name. It may not be.
if he picked that, douche. You douche.
No, he went to, there's a firm in Hollywood you go to get your new stage names. So he went in there and they're like,
yeah, no choice.
You are Michael Fassbender. What? No, I'm not. I'm Eugene Walarski. No, you're not. You're Michael Fassbender.
You knew when you came here you were going to stop being Eugene.
Yeah, there's no chance you're going to be Eugene. Not a chance.
Yeah. Hasn't everybody told you that since you said you wanted to be an actor?
How many famous Eugenes do you know? None, exactly. Don't even bother answering.
And of course, someone named Eugene probably knows them all because, there's, five and he knows them. He counts them on one hand. But you got to cut them off because it doesn't matter.
But that movie, it played into the line about just following orders, you know, about the Nuremberg trials and the Nazis. Kevin Bacon as that weird ass villain.
Yeah,
he had three different superpowers. I don't know why they decided to do that. Like, how about he can do this and he can do this and he can do this, and then also he has this cool diamond chick with him that also has two superpowers for. I don't know why. She's a telepath and she can turn herself into a diamond. That you could have pared that back a little bit, but that movie I thought was pretty good and it had potential. But then the next movie was, I think, Days Future Past, the time travel one.
Yeah, that one was didn't leave an imprint.
No, I mean it's cool to put on the TV and have it going in the background. I have sat down and watched it a couple times. It's entertaining as an action movie, but yeah, it's most of what happens in that movie is largely forgettable. And it's just a little bit of nostalgia and a little bit, and they try to kind of put it into the Vietnam War, and so they're kind of trying to follow the path of history from the Cuban Missile Crisis to Vietnam and try to push that into, you know, what's going on with the mutants. Then they introduce Sentinels in the year 1973, you know, a Sentinel, which is even today would be extremely difficult and important. We haven't built one yet in 2019, and yet they have them in 1973. They never explain that. The fact that Patrick Stewart is alive, I'm sorry, not Patrick Stewart, Xavier, the character, is alive in the movie when he was killed in the previous one didn't make any fucking sense. They never explained that. And there's so many things about it. The Sentinels of the future are defy physics. It's just they can do anything, like, on the fly. And it's like there's no machine ever anywhere. I mean, at this point, they might as well just be wizards, you know, magical wizards.
Wizard robots.
Wizard robots, yeah. I mean, that's the problem that X-Men runs into, that they keep running with this superpower thing, and they run right off a cliff into, like, nonsense land with wizard robots. Okay.
Wizard robots, man. That kind of sounds awesome. Let's write that. Let's write that. Or that's a new, that's a band name. Wizard robots.
Wizard robots.
Yeah. The music's fucking weird, but people love it. Like, you get crazy at the shows.
Yeah. And somebody will probably come back like, what, don't you mean robot wizards? Like, no.
No.
Wizard robots.
Hit yourself.
Did I stutter? All right. I had one more thing, but did you have something?
Not offhand, but I could keep going.
Wizard robots.
I don't know. That kind of threw me off. Yeah, I think I kind of want to go on that train now.
Well,
like X-Men is the past, Wizard Robots is the future.
Well, they make fun of like the Jedi because they're basically space wizards or space sorcerers.
Yeah, I like that.
And they say that as if they're like, oh, it's not science fiction. They're basically space wizards. I'm like, dude, I don't care. What you just said is awesome.
Yeah, space like, wizards. That is not an insult.
I like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like the same thing with, like, mutants, though, or something. If you have a telekinetic power and you're a mutant, you don't say, like, oh, they're a wizard or something. It's like you kind of did it in a sci-fi way. So, like, in a way, since Star Wars attempts to do it in, like, a sci-fi way and it's not actually spells, you know, I don't think it really is that.
No, and they start off with mutation, like the movies start off with that explanation of mutation as part of an evolutionary thing, and that this is like a new leap for humanity. And then, of course, the argument is, are they still human, or is this a new species that's here to take us out? And, you know, because generally, I mean, I don't know if we said this in a previous podcast, but like there was a science story about them discovering the remains of a new pre-Homo sapien humanoid race in the Philippines. Yeah. And we were thinking, like, well, you know, we wiped them all out, the Homo sapiens. Like, we, as in our ancestors, wiped out Neanderthals and all of them, you know, all the different hominids. So, like, you know, what if we found anyone alive today? And you and I joke, like, well, we would probably just kill them immediately.
we'd not be able to stop ourselves.
No, it wouldn't.
Like, regular people that have never raised their hands in violence their entire lives would just become complete genocidal, like, mass murderers.
Like, archaeologists, anthropologists, like, people that dedicated their lives to advancing their knowledge of our hominid ancestors and other species of ancient, you know, prehistoric times, they wouldn't be able to control themselves. They'd, like, I don't know what came over me. I needed to strangle them.
Yeah, we discovered them, and then we killed them all. we didn't say a word to each other.
this was not part of the research project.
It's a no mission statement. We don't really know. I can't explain what happened, other than just a primal human urge to be like, no, our planet.
And so you have like Magneto, who's like coming to the realization that that's where this is all heading with the mutants. And then, of course, you know, you and I, we've seen kind of world events and maybe just in our own lives, and we kind of feel like Magneto has a point.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, when I was a kid, the cartoon, I totally got the X-Men. I did not understand the bad guys. As an adult now, I'm like, you know what? I agree with the X-Men and stuff, but I also totally get their point. Like, if you were a mutant and this is what the whole world was doing to you, and you're like, we are the future. Come on, just stop being backwards. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you were like, yeah, as a kid, we're all just like, we all think Professor Xavier is like the ultimate, like, you know, virtuous hero and the leader, and he wants to make the world a better place. And then now, if we were to talk to him, we'd be like, quit being a naive, childish moron.
Yeah.
Please. Like, oh, enough with this, Charles. Come on.
Grow up.
Grow the fuck up.
Play university over there.
Oh, I know what I'm going to do with mutation. I'm going to start a school. Like, grow up.
For children, get your head out of your ass.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna go to third world countries and build schools. Yeah, that's how we're gonna. Yeah, yeah, that's what we do, huh? Yeah, please.
Oh God, being an adult.
Look what age has done to us.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Right. I mean, and just I think maybe it'd be cool if they listen to this and the people that are in control of X-Men, who owns it right now? Can we look that up?
Fox had it. Let's see. Fox, I think, just got acquired by Disney. So
okay. I mean, the thing is they might keep all the same executive producers and directors and writer in charge, or they might completely scrap it. I mean, Disney kind of does their own thing. That'd be really interesting. I hate to say it, but, like, Disney's been doing a decent job, so maybe they'll save X-Men.
Well, I think they're going to take – if I were, you know, corporate-wise, if you just put this in their language, they have a business model that has proven effective in the Avengers. And I think it's time that they duplicate that model in the X-Men with their X-Men line, if you will.
Yes. I want that to happen. And
yes.
That sounds like it's gonna when you say it like that. Like, yep, that sounds like how these decisions get made.
Oh, and I would say, and I know I didn't do any research. I just knew this offhand, but like Bryan Singer is like the director of a lot of these movies. I think if we just all decide that Bryan Singer is never allowed to touch X-Men or touch anyone else for the rest of his life, I think that would be a good start in moving this in a better direction. So, because I don't know if you know the allegations against Bryan Singer and how he likes big, you know, coke parties with little boys and things like that.
Is he? But he's kicked out of the industry, right? It's not one of those things where it's just rumor. I mean,
well,
gets you kicked out now, so like he's kicked out, right?
Well, I think he vehemently denies them that anything even remotely like for what they're saying is saying. In other words, like he was having like you know these kind of parties where young child actors were being exposed
right.
to alcohol and whatever, and. Like, so that part of it, I buy that. Like, Hollywood's known for that. They basically feed alcohol and drugs to child actors and actresses all the time. So I would not be surprised if that part was true. But, like, he vehemently, like denies any of the allegations of, you know, sexual misconduct with young actors. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it's gone.
Hopefully he gets kicked out like everybody else is. You know,
well, there's that, and even if those allegations turn out to be false, and he actually is just you know a typical Hollywood
douchebag,
and maybe he's not a pedophile. You know, if he's not a pedophile, he's just a regular douche. But just taking that aside, his creative choices in the X-Men movies, I mean, that alone is enough for me to be like, yeah, he needs to be taken off this.
Yeah.
So for professional and personal reasons, it's time to move on from Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
He's clearly has a limit. There's some pretty significant limitations to what he's been able to produce, and it's time to move on. You know, if you can find, maybe Disney can move one of their directors or one of their writers over from the Avengers stuff and be like, hey, you want to do some X-Men stuff now? You know?
Yeah. We'll do something that matters.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I hope that's the case. I really hope that's what happens. We have that type of future with the series because, I mean, I love the characters. I love the storyline. They've done good with casting. They just need to not fuck it up, not keep fucking it up. And they've gotten close a few times, but, like, the stuff that they miss at, I still feel is big enough that I won't, like, put them up on the list of, like, my favorite movies. It's, like, my favorite, like, what would you call it? I don't know, comic book like universe, but I can't say that those are my favorite comic book movies, any of them. But Logan is so well done. I'll throw it on the list. It's in the top five.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I have. I would put it definitely in my top 10, no doubt about it. Out of let's see, there's probably like 40 or 50 movies total in this category. If you include DC, Marvel, X-Men, like all of it, there's probably
Batman,
about,
Superman,
yeah.
and Spider-Man's. Like there's a good
the
chunk
only,
of movies in here.
The only movies that I would really put ahead of it is I would put Iron Man ahead of Logan by a little bit. The Infinity War and Endgame Avenger movies are just insanely good. I can't.
Yeah, they just did so well with that. Like those are almost like 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 or something. Like they're right next to each other.
Yeah, and then top 10. And then Christopher Nolan's Batman movies. I mean, those are better than Logan. But Logan to me is better than like all the other X-Men movies. I think it's better than the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Better than all the Captain America movies. It's better than, I mean, it's just like, I just think it has more heart and has more feels and definitely just examines the human condition and like has a tremendously beautiful ending that just puts it a cut above most of the other comic book movies. And I think that's something that they really should think about. They don't need to do, you know, Logan like 5 or 6 times over, but Logan, I think, kind of had a unique kind of objective in what the story it was going to tell. But I think you can learn a lot about how that movie worked so well and there are others didn't. And I hope they do take that. And I also hope they learn from Avengers and learn from Infinity War and Endgame. And also just in general what they did with that universe. That one, you need to make all the movies matter.
Like, yeah.
Make the fucking movies matter. And
like that was so awesome. Like when you just have these random movies that don't matter, you know, like you're like, well, why are you making it then? Why am I going to see it? Why do I care? Like you literally are telling me that means nothing then. I already know it doesn't because it's a movie and it's a comic book movie, but you're adding another layer of meaninglessness to it.
Yeah. And
that's how I feel about this new Joker movie.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's almost like these movies, like they're getting greenlit, they're a project, they become a movie, but like to start with, it's kind of like they're almost like brainstorming, like, hey, how about this? Hey, well, that didn't work, how about this? But they're not, like, none of these movies are attached to each other. They're just kind of like throwing things at the wall to see which one turns out to be a hit.
Yeah.
And they're not connected.
And like with, I don't know, with all the Avengers movies or most of them mattering and them like thinking about that to have them all matter, like if they just keep on doing that with all the universes they make. I know sometimes they go in a wrong direction and someone has a better idea and they decide to go in this direction instead. I get that. But you need to really start owning that then, because a lot of times they do that and then they jump right back on the old course. I'm like, oh, great. So why? Like, if you're going to veer off of it, or if you're getting rid of someone or something like that, or changing it, like, freaking own it and have it be for a big reason and stick to it.
Yeah, and I have one final thing that I'm going to bash X-Men Last Stand, which is one of the first three, the last of the first three movies. At first, I liked the movie a lot when I first saw it, when I was in college. And I liked it. I'm like, hey, that's a good ending. It's a good way to kind of close out this trilogy and everything. But every time I've seen it since then, it did not age well at all. And I'll tell you why. So this is the movie where, this is the first movie where Jean Grey becomes Phoenix. And it's blanking on her name. But it's, you know, it's the last one with Patrick, it's Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, it's that cast, and there's this mutant has this ability to cancel out mutant powers in others. And so the government's trying to use that to create this new serum that basically eliminates mutation. And so when they fire one of these darts at you, it steals your mutant powers and whatnot. So Phoenix joins with Magneto to basically kill this mutant kid who has this power, and to annihilate the project so that mutants are not wiped out, because in their mind this serum is a threat to their species, even though it's not killing them. But they like, well, you're taking something away from us by force. Like at first it's voluntary, but they're like, no, eventually they're just going to do this to everyone. They're not going to make it a voluntary treatment. So what bothered me about this movie, because at first, like, yeah, everything about it was a cool idea, a cool story, like, everything was just fine. It's the way they portrayed Phoenix and Jean Grey. She's, the color they chose to depict her as is a dark red, blood red. And when she becomes the Phoenix, she's emotionally unstable, mentally unstable, has a temper, unable to focus. She, you know, kind of shifts between being bitchy and being, you know, kind of aroused and promiscuous, and just is not really in control. And the more I started to watch this, I'm like, wait, is this supposed to be a metaphor for PMS? Like, and I could not get that idea out of my head. So, like, every time I see the movie, I'm like, I'm starting to think that's what this is.
Like, this is kind of tone deaf. This is, I know. This is upsetting. Yeah, and it, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Like, that's funny.
It's just, I mean, I'm sure other people have made, you know, had noticed this well before I did. It's not like I'm just saying, like, I kind of came to this realization after watching it the seventh or eighth or ninth time when I was getting older, and just starting to think, like, you know what, I'm starting to not like this, you know, this female character, like, these movies with female characters that are emotionally unstable and starting to have all sorts of problems, and they need the male hero to save them and to give them, like, balance. And I'm starting, and I was starting to realize, I'm like, dude, I think this whole storyline in general might be misogynistic. Like, I don't know if I can really watch this movie and see it the same way anymore. Now I can't. Now that's all I see. And I don't know, I mean, whether it's intentional or not, I'm sure nobody will ever admit to that being the intent. But I'm sorry, she goes from wearing normal X-Men uniforms to wearing dark red all the time. Her eyes are dark red. You know, the blood, you know, the use of the blood color. Just, ugh. I'm sorry. It still bothers me to this day. I don't know if this is kind of like a broader thing that a lot of people don't like about it. Maybe it is, but it's another thing from the older X-Men movies where I'm just like, yeah, now it's just not the same. Yeah. Now, it's just not now I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, so many of the characters have been written to one-dimensionally, and so I wouldn't be surprised at all, you know, if that was the case, because that's just happened like over and over again with this, where it's just about the light show, and then maybe one or two characters or one part of the story gets a lot of attention, and I think that's enough to carry everything. Yeah. You know.
Well, We're at the hour mark. Did you have anything else you wanted to follow up on that?
I don't think I have any final thoughts or anything like that. I hope Disney is able to attach this to some people that can kick ass in the future. I'm not completely sold on it, but maybe, I mean, the reviews for Logan, hopefully Logan made enough money. I don't know if it did, if it's a really good example of it. I know their Deadpool movies are, and like those being connected to the X-Men universe, and they got a lot of attention. Why not just keep that up and just keep kicking ass with it?
Well, Logan was middle of the pack. I'm looking at the list here on boxofficemojo.com, and out of the X-Men movies, Logan is fifth out of 11 for making $226 million, but its budget was like less than half of what the budgets for the other movies were. And it made $600 million. Let's see what it did worldwide. It's fourth worldwide. And if you adjust for ticket price inflation, you know, it's middle of the pack. So it didn't outperform the other movies, but you got to keep in mind that they spent half as much money on it.
Yeah, so, and I mean, in financial and accounting senses, it might be the most profitable.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. Deadpool, I mean, the number one movie in the X-Men universe are the Deadpool movies. It's not even close. Deadpool 1. Outperform if you adjust for ticket price inflation. Deadpool is still number one. Deadpool 2 is number four, and then worldwide, it's just, I mean, it's I mean, and just the fact that Deadpool, which is not their, it's obviously dark comedy. Mm-hmm. That a dark comedy with Ryan Reynolds is outperforming your, like, kind of technically your flagship X-Men movies should definitely tell you something.
Yeah, yeah, by far, and everybody loves them, and they want you to keep doing it. But, yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a good whiskey-fueled rage on our...
Yeah, yeah. I feel better about it. You know, like, we had some good, we had some bad. I'm not too hopeful for the future, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think I probably will go see Dark Phoenix because I do. I like the cast, and I'm willing to... Yeah, of course I'm going to watch it. It's all right, so it premieres June 7th, so just a few weeks away. The director is Simon Kinberg, who is the writer of all the other ones. So let me see who the writer was of Dark Phoenix. Just come on.
There's supposed to be an X-Force movie? Oh, my God.
There's a New Mutants movie. There's this one. So the writers are John...
New Mutants.
Yeah, John...
Untitled X-23 Laura Project. What? Spinoff of Wolverine's Logan. Yes, they are going to do that.
Good.
Yes. Good. All right, let's do this. Good. Oh, my God. Dude, that little girl was so vicious. I was all like, whose mother is letting her be in this? Is she allowed to see this movie?
I know.
Like, oh, my God, she was insane. She was vicious. She was so Wolverine. So Wolverine. Like,
yeah.
That,
oh, yeah.
That actress freaking nailed it.
That's definitely, yeah, that's Logan's daughter. Like,
yeah,
he might not have raised her, but that's his daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you didn't even raise her, and she turned out like you.
What the fuck, dude?
The reason, I guess, well, Simon Kinberg is the director, and he's one of the, and there's a bunch of writers on here, but this is basically Simon Kinberg's, so not Bryan Singer. But Simon Kinberg is attached to a lot of the other previous X-Men movies, so this might be more of the same.
X-Force has Drew Goddard. What has he done? Stars Josh Brolin, Ryan Reynolds. Oh, X-Force is the freaking whatchamacallit?
That's
Deadpool's team.
Yeah, that's Deadpool's team.
Oh, that's what. Of course, they're making another one of those.
Yeah, because he saved a few of them, right? When he went back in time, but they all died. Like, remember another Deadpool 2 spoiler?
Oh, yeah.
X-Force doesn't do well.
Man, those movies are great. Like, having a full budget for a fucking dark comedy, like a superhero movie, like, it's fantastic.
I have, so this one, Dark Phoenix is going to have Jessica Chastain, who I have a crush on, and Sophie Turner, who is a Game of Thrones actress and well liked, and she's definitely talented. I don't really know if I'm starting to wonder if maybe they picked her because of all the Game of Thrones popularity, or if they picked her because they honestly thought she could be a great Phoenix Jean Grey. I don't know. I sometimes wonder about those things when they pick stars from famous like awesome TV shows and try to turn them into movie stars. It doesn't always work. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this one does learn something, but I don't know. I'm probably going to see it anyway. But yeah, my expectations are meh.
Okay.
So all right. So that does it for this episode. Next week we can either I haven't seen John Wick yet, but we might go ahead and see that. Talk that. The Godzilla movie's coming up, so we might just talk Godzilla next time out.
Oh yeah, Godzilla would be great. I'd like to revisit all that. I think I need to learn my Godzilla like history. I really have just been a passive childlike fan of it without actually knowing it. And I feel like if they might do this movie right, I should really. They're gonna have all these characters. I need to get up to speed. I really do.
So yeah, maybe we'll do that instead. So yeah, maybe next time. Talk a little, maybe if it's before Godzilla premieres or before we've seen it, it'll be a Godzilla kind of lead up. If afterwards, maybe it's a review. I don't know. We'll see. But in any event, we're going to talk kaiju monsters. So, kaiju. But, all right, that'll do it for this episode. I might still do an awkward just cut off.